Hello, fellow foodies. This is Dr. Cassandra Quave, and you're listening to the Foodie Pharmacology Podcast. This was such a fun episode to tape for a couple of reasons. First, I absolutely love this spice as an ingredient in sweet desserts and in flavorful chai lattes, Turkish coffee, or golden milk, where I combine it with turmeric and ginger, or even in a Middle Eastern-inspired apple turnover dish I like to cook in the fall. It's been such fun to learn more about the history and pharmacology of this flavorful, exotic ingredient. Secondly, I also had an opportunity to tour a new ice cream factory in Atlanta, the Ice Cream Walla Company, where I got to taste test their delicious Bottom Milk ice cream, which incorporates fresh ground versions of this spice, combining it with crunchy almonds and then blending it into a rich sweet cream, creating a distinctive and delicious dessert. Are you hungry for more? I am, so let's dig in. In our 13th episode on the show, we're going to investigate a delightful member of the ginger family that is native to India and Indonesia. Green cardamom imparts a unique flavor to the dishes it flavors. There are hints of citrus and even eucalyptus due to the presence of terpenes like limonene and cineol. This delightfully aromatic spice has even been referred to as the queen of spices, due not only to its lovely aroma and flavor, but also because of its array of medicinal applications and utility as an excellent breath freshener. In fact, in ancient times, this spice was accessed through extensive trade networks spanning India, across the Middle East, and even into North Africa, where it was chewed and its seeds were used as a regular breath freshener. This practice is still common in a number of Arab countries today. Cardamom is a valued ingredient in Indian cuisine and is an essential ingredient to Indian chai tea, as well as a number of sweet desserts. Besides its pairing with Camellia sinensis, or tea, or black tea, this spice is also used in making Arab-style coffee and Turkish coffee. In Scandinavian countries, it is used to flavor the alcoholic spirit akvavit. It is also used across Europe as an ingredient for a variety of sweet desserts, including everything from cookies to cakes and ice cream. Green cardamom seeds have a long history of medicinal use. For example, in traditional Chinese medicine and in Yunani medicine, it has long been used as a carminative or digestive aid and reportedly used for the prevention of flatulence or treatment of painful intestinal gas. In some medical traditions, the seed essential oil is also incorporated into massage oils and lotions and used in topical applications as an aromatherapeutic massage experience. It has also been used in this context to treat muscle cramps, rheumatic pains, and inflammation. Due to its pleasing smell, cardamom was also used as a perfume and was thought to have aphrodisiac properties. Green cardamom has also played an important role in ritual experiences as well. For example, records of its use date back to the Vedic period of 3000 BC, and it is one of the ingredients poured into the sacrificial fire during a traditional Hindu marriage ceremony. In Sanskrit, the ancient Indian language, the plant is called ella. The scientific name of green cardamom is Elataria cardamomum, and it is a member of the Zingiberaceae family. It is a perennial shrub with thick, fleshy lateral roots. The plant can grow to a height of 8 feet. The fruits of this ginger relative are harvested for their highly aromatic seeds that are found inside. Botanically speaking, the green cardamom fruit is a capsule formed by three cores and reaching the size of 1 to 4 inches long and 0.5 to 1 inch wide. Inside the capsule, there are typically between 15 to 23 small black seeds that are covered in a sweet red aril. When mature, the green capsule turns yellow in color. Green cardamom was first distinguished from black cardamom in the writings of Theophrastus, the 4th century Greek scholar who authored Historia Plantarum, or Inquiry into Plants. Black cardamom actually comes from another genus, the genus Amomum. The main type of black cardamom in trade is also known as the brown or Nepal cardamom. Botanically, it is known as Amomum subulatum. This is more commonly used in savory dishes and will be the subject of a future episode. Although green cardamom is native to India and Indonesia, today you can find it growing in large-scale cultivation in other regions across the globe, including Guatemala and Tanzania. I was actually really surprised to learn that Guatemala has surpassed India as the largest producer of exported green cardamom today. The species was introduced to Guatemala in the 1920s, and as the spice is not well integrated into the Central American cuisine, the 13 to 14,000 tons produced each year in Guatemala is dedicated solely to export. Cardamom is also a costly ingredient, and it is ranked as the third most expensive spice by weight, coming just after saffron and vanilla. To prepare cardamom for export, the capsule fruits are harvested before reaching maturity, and then they are dried in the sun or under an industrial heat source in order to dry the capsules fully and prevent them from bursting open and losing the precious seeds inside. When cardamom fruits mature naturally on the plant, they become dehiscent, splitting open so that the seeds can spread into the environment. Green cardamom is typically sold in its whole fruit form, usually colored a lightish green-brown following the drying process. To cook with this spice, the capsule is opened, the seeds removed, and the outer husk discarded. This ingredient is super rich in powerfully flavorful essential oils, so it only takes a small amount of the seeds to really flavor a dish. You may also come across cardamom powder in stores. And just as I recommended that you avoid pre-ground black pepper, I'm of the same opinion for cardamom as well. The desirable flavor and taste profile that you get with fresh ground cardamom seeds is far superior to that of the pre-ground. Just like black pepper, the volatile oils responsible for the flavor and pharmacology of this spice will dissipate over time if it's purchased already pre-ground. So only go for the whole capsules. The first time that I had a traditional Turkish coffee, it was in the home of an elderly woman who lived in the isolated Shari Mountains of the Balkans. I was there conducting field research and spent the morning with her discussing her family traditions of collecting wild plants in the late spring through the early fall to serve as supplementary food ingredients and even medicines for use throughout the year. As was customary of the region to show hospitality to her guest, she offered me a fresh cup of coffee. This was not your typical machine drip brew or even French press preparation of coffee, though. I was about to discover the delightful combination of two plants originally from different parts of the world, Ethiopia and India, for coffee and cardamom. She began by gathering her ingredients. This included a glass of cold water, a tablespoon of very finely ground roasted coffee, about the consistency of cocoa powder, a small spoon of sugar, and the seeds from a single cardamom pod, which she ground just before use. She poured the glass of cold water into the copper ibrik, which is a small pot with a long handle, which can be placed onto a gas burner. This is used in the traditional preparation of Turkish coffee. She heated the water and sugar to a boil and then removed it from the hot burner and added the coffee and the cardamom. She returned the ibrik to the gas burner and heated it again until the coffee began to foam. And then she pulled it off of the heat and repeated this process three times back and forth to balance the foam and the heat. Then she poured the thick brew into two small espresso cups, and we waited for the liquid to cool and the coffee sediment to fall to the bottom of the cup before drinking. When it was ready, I lifted the cup to my nose and took in a deep breath. There were the tones of the delicious coffee, which never fails to stimulate my brain and awaken my senses. But there were also some unexpected and unique notes hinting at citrus and ginger. When I finally sipped at the brew, the flavor did not disappoint. I just found a new favorite way of preparing coffee. The unique flavor and aroma of green cardamom seeds comes down to a distinctive blend of volatile compounds found in the seed essential oil. This includes plant secondary metabolites like 1,8-cineol, limonene, alpha-terpenyl acetate, sabinine, myrcene, alpha-terpeneol, alpha-pinene, and others. Cardamom essential oil is produced commercially by steam distillation of the powdered fruits, including the husks and the seeds. The traditional use of this spice as a breath freshener and its utility as a food ingredient has led some scientists to investigate the potential antimicrobial properties of green cardamom seed essential oils. Studies have shown that the essential oil exhibits growth inhibitory activities against a number of human pathogens and bacteria that are linked to food spoilage and foodborne illness. Beyond its antibacterial properties, antifungal activities of the essential oil have also been noted in laboratory studies. In efforts to understand the relevance of the traditional medicinal use of this plant as a digestive aid, other scientists have assessed the utility of the seed powder in the treatment of gastric ulcers. A study in rats showed that cardamom extracts could reduce gastric lesions in ethanol and aspirin-induced gastric ulcer models. Studies on the anti-inflammatory properties of green cardamom have also demonstrated relevant activity in both the gastrointestinal and cardiovascular systems. Green cardamom not only brings an amazing flavor profile to the dishes that it is used in, but it also has some interesting medicinal properties as well. I wanted to learn more about how this spice is being integrated into new and emerging sweet products in my home-based city of Atlanta. I took this opportunity to visit the Ice Cream Walla Factory, where they are using green cardamom in a tasty new ice cream flavor. Ice Cream Walla was started to bring the art of handcrafted Indian ice cream to the United States. The Biwandiwala brothers make artisanal ice cream, drawing on thousands of years of Indian culinary history and the very best of local and seasonal ingredients. All of their products are made fresh in Atlanta, and the unique flavors that they blend are developed and produced in-house from scratch. I had a blast speaking with one of the company founders and learning more about how they brought their childhood family traditions of green cardamom-inspired dishes and desserts into their new startup business. I hope that you enjoy this interview as much as I did. All right, so this is Dr. Cassandra Quaid, and I am so excited to be at Ice Cream Walla here in Atlanta. This is a startup company working on one of my favorite foods, which is ice cream. And I'm here with the CEO, Raisi Biwandiwala.
Yes.
And Raisi, why don't you tell us a bit about yourself and how you started this company?
Sure. So along with my brother and my dad, we came up with the idea of producing a product that would bring back some of the memories from India or the spice flavor profiles and serve it to a wider consumer base. And we settled on ice cream and started production here in Atlanta maybe 2 years ago.
Great.
With experiments. And it's been 1 year since our company was actually selling product.
Great. And so we're going to be looking into your product that features saffron and cardamom, which is the focus of this episode. Did you always love ice cream as a kid, or?
Yeah, definitely. As a kid, I grew up in Bombay, in India.
Okay.
And my grandfather would take me once a month to an ice cream shop that happened to be right next to our building. So we lived right across the sea face in Bombay, and there were a bunch of food vendors and stalls, and there were two ice cream shops actually on either side of us. So we would go there, get to try out all the flavors. I really didn't know what flavors I would pick by color. So,
oh, interesting.
Yeah, right. My goal was to just pick a different color every time I went. And so would try all these different flavors and so on. But when I came to the U.S., we started seeing that there weren't... I came here when I was 12. Mm-hmm. And we were lacking in some of those flavors from India. I guess when we were kids, we didn't even realize that we were going into such a different food culture.
Yeah.
Right?
And to have those, that abundance of fresh spices is
Yeah. So the whole technique of cooking everything is very different here. Mm-hmm. We wanted to recreate some of the flavors from back home. So our first idea was to make these bottled spice milks.
Oh, interesting.
So my brother and I both were in business school, and he was at Emory as well. And the idea was to bottle the milk with spices, mm-hmm. and, you know, take it to grocery stores and try and sell it. But we didn't realize that, you know, once we put spices in milk and put all kinds of different ingredients in the milk, it has a very short shelf life, okay. especially since we were dealing with, like, fresh store-bought milk. Mm-hmm. We didn't really understand the science of any of that, so milk was going bad. Although it tasted really good after we pulled it off the stove and it was hot, once we bottled it, it only lasted 3 or 4 days.
Oh, well, that's, yeah. difficult for selling.
So we wouldn't be able to distribute it to stores, to sell it, to get mm-hmm. reorders within that short window. So yeah. then we decided to pivot to ice cream because it was frozen. Now, we didn't realize at that time the whole bunch of challenges that come with handling a frozen product. Mm-hmm. But ice cream has a much wider appeal than, say, like masala milk, which is a spiced milk we were trying to make. And so our first flavor, the badam milk, the one we'll talk about today, was the original, my grandmother's original recipe for a spiced milk.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So what went into her recipe?
So I would say half the effort was in procuring the ingredients and the other half was in processing those ingredients. Mm-hmm. So for example, almonds. What she would do is almonds, yes, you could just throw them in, but she wanted the crunchiest almonds to retain their crunch in the
milk. That mouthfeel is really
right.
important, that crunch. Yeah.
You need to know you just bit into an almond. So she would soak the almonds in water, uh-huh. kind of lukewarm water, allow them to sort of swell up and expand. So she'd soak them overnight. Mm-hmm. And then you pull the almonds out of the water and dehydrate them basically in the sun. Because we didn't have dehydrators or anything. So you put them in the sun. And where it swelled up and then the water was taken out, it left all these small air pockets, right? Basically, that's the idea. And then the crunch was phenomenal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we replicated that process by soaking them and then dehydrating them in dehydrators here.
Okay.
So you get like a really crunchy almond. We go one step further and then dry roast them mm-hmm. on a pan so you kind of get the oils and everything going.
Oh, nice.
So that's the almonds. And then, for example, the recipe called for cardamom. Mm-hmm. So cardamom, this pod, which you...
Yeah.
Right?
So there's two species that
right.
are really known to be used in a lot of Indian cuisine. There's one that's commonly known as green cardamom and one that's brown or black cardamom.
Right.
And so each of them have a similar, somewhat similar flavor profile, but
right.
they have a little bit of difference in their chemistry. Which one does your grandmother use?
So, I don't know why it ended up this way, but green cardamom was more associated with mm-hmm. sort of the desserts, and black cardamom, or there's many other names for black
yes.
cardamom, but that was more for savory dishes that
okay.
in our household. So we ended up using green cardamom in all these sort of sweet dishes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was the underlying, it was like a vanilla, you know how you put vanilla extract in cookies,
yeah.
you put it in pudding, you put it in cake, makes
it. Well, you know that cardamom actually is the third most expensive spice
right.
after vanilla and
saffron.
And saffron,
yeah.
Yeah.
So this flavor actually has saffron and cardamom.
Wow. So it's a super luxurious
yes.
ice cream.
We try to explain to people when they ask us why is it
Does
expensive.
It also have vanilla?
No.
Okay.
That would have... We're already... You know, this flavor is already like pushing the limits of, you know, our raw material costs. So, but in Indian cuisine, cardamom and saffron, they complement each other really well, mm-hmm. to the point where people confuse the two flavors. They
really?
Say, oh, I can really taste the saffron. But here, our underlying note, taste-wise, is the cardamom. The nasal, the first scent may mm-hmm. be a strong cardamom flavor, mm-hmm. and the saffron comes through at the end with some warmth and
nice.
Color. It
and
adds
color.
A really nice sort of yellow, light yellow color
right.
once it's steeped in the milk. So cardamom, what she would do is you'd get the pod, mm-hmm. you'd have to break open the pod, take out the seeds, mm-hmm. kind of de-husk the seeds because they have this like waxy little
papery yeah.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's impossible to get all of that out. But as much as you can, you kind of sift them and you sort of mm-hmm. separate the seed from the paper. And then you grind those. And she liked to grind them with a mortar and pestle, so it would leave
that smell that
right.
comes off.
Right.
There are a lot of really nice essential oils that come off of,
yes.
of the seeds of cardamom.
Yes,
yeah.
exactly. So it would leave the, it would be kind of like a coarse ground cardamom.
Mm-hmm.
But that would also increase the surface area. All this we learned later. After trying every type of cardamom combination out there, we figured we had to just do it the old-fashioned way.
The old-fashioned way, yeah.
Right.
Grandma's recipe sometimes
right.
is the best
yeah.
recipe.
You're like, why not just buy cardamom powder? So, in fact, I can get some from... Mm-hmm. We have cardamom powder store-bought. We mm-hmm. have restaurant version of cardamom powder for, like, industrial kitchen uses. And then we have our own house-made cardamom powder here that we've ground ourselves.
Wow, so you're going through it's pretty intensive work to process the actual pods in-house. So
right.
you have the most flavor. I'm sure that comes across in the ice cream. Because we actually did an episode earlier in the podcast on black pepper.
Mm.
And we talked about how if you compare fresh ground black pepper to pre-ground store-bought black pepper,
right.
the flavor profile is incredibly different, but that also the flavor profile is linked to the chemistry. So
right.
the compounds that give cardamom and black pepper that amazing aroma, those notes of lemon,
absolutely.
The notes of pine, all those that are kind of blended together, those over time will evaporate or
right.
kind of come off. So the fact that you're using the fresh in-house ground really shows that you're going to imbue the food product with those flavors, and that's where the real value of the spice is.
Exactly. And we went through so many batches where the mm-hmm. only variable we changed was the cardamom.
Mm-hmm.
We went through, so I can list them, we threw the whole green pods in there.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is that oftentimes dates, and you don't know how fresh the product is in there,
yeah.
because manufacturers are allowed to put codes on there where you don't know the expiry date. And like spice will last, but you may not be getting the freshest.
Mm-hmm.
Then we went with what in India they call the dana, the seed, just the seed.
Just the seed, okay,
right?
Already pre-husked.
Right, mm-hmm. just pre-husked cardamom seeds. Now the problem with that was in our pasteurizer, because we would pasteurize the cardamom with the milk, the seeds were heavy and they would fall to the bottom.
Uh-huh.
Right, so they wouldn't really be floating around and swirling around for the whole time of pasteurization.
Mm-hmm.
So their flavor wouldn't come out, although the seed is the most potent in terms of oil and so on. And then we went to store-bought cardamom powder.
Mm-hmm.
It was a light green color. The smell, I thought it was strong until we made our own, which is like a punch in the nose. But the store-bought cardamom powder would give you... we didn't know if they were grinding the husk as well as the seed.
Because it's not always...
Right,
yeah,
you can't tell. Because it's
yeah.
this light color. And then we said, okay, we just have to get mortars and pestles, and we have to spend one day of the month just doing cardamom powder.
That's great.
And so our team would get the seeds and then grind it.
I bet it smells amazing in your
yeah.
production facility on those days.
On days we cook it too.
Oh, I bet.
So there's a heavy oil content in these seeds. I mean, you can see the residue on the mortar mm-hmm. and pestle. And the powder, the store-bought powder is like light green, you know, mm-hmm. almost gray. And our thing was close to black.
Wow.
Yeah, and this is green cardamom. So
because you're using just the seeds, whereas
right.
it sounds like this a lot of the store-bought pre-ground probably just does it with the whole husk included, the whole pod,
right.
which would give it more of a green color.
And growing up, you know, when you, a lot of the cooking would have cardamom pods in it,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes by accident you'd eat the cardamom pod.
Oh, yeah.
And it would be really, really strong, and it would kind of change the whole course of
yeah.
your meal. So we didn't want that flavor. So we had to get the grind size right
mm-hmm.
in order to have it perfectly distributed throughout the ice cream. And then the key thing is we didn't strain the base, the liquid, after. We just let the cardamom be. So it speckled the ice cream like vanilla beans.
Oh, like vanilla beans would be
yeah.
great. Yeah.
And then you throw in the saffron right towards the end as
mm-hmm.
it's cooling down to allow
it. So
you're
using real saffron in
real
this too.
Saffron. Yeah,
wow.
like, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
yeah.
We kind of sort of give the saffron a rough, like a dice before
mm-hmm.
to increase the amount of pieces, surface area,
surface area.
So it can
uh-huh.
distribute its color evenly.
Yeah.
But yeah, we use a lot of saffron. We use Nagin grade saffron from Iran.
Uh-huh.
And that's a whole another process. We figured out like how to do that. So that's actually now our best-selling flavor, the badam milk.
That's great.
Yeah.
So when I think of color, I also think of turmeric. Do you use any turmeric in any of your other ice creams?
So turmeric in dairy it's tough. We haven't unlocked
mm-hmm.
the power yet.
Yeah.
Because it sort of takes over.
It
the
does take
flavor,
over, yeah.
Right? So we haven't yet. It also takes over the color. It's really strong.
Yes.
And it sort of becomes this neon-y, like really
orange.
Powerful
yeah.
orange-yellow
yeah.
as it sits in the cream. And because we have an aging process for 24 hours after the milk is pasteurized, we let it just sit under agitation.
Mm-hmm.
Then the turmeric really, like, you know, grows in strength and
yeah.
takes over. So we haven't unlocked the secret of turmeric yet. So we haven't
yeah,
used
that's,
it.
Yeah. Growing up, did you ever drink, I think it's called, in the U.S. we call it golden milk.
Yes.
But it's a mixture of not just
yeah,
turmeric,
yeah.
but also other spices, including cardamom and black pepper and cinnamon. And
yeah.
Yeah. I
so,
love making that for just a nice hot beverage with coconut milk.
Right.
And, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, that was my grandmother's remedy for, like, sore throats or anything almost.
Yeah.
We called it haldi dood.
Haldi dood.
Uh-huh. Haldi, which is turmeric, and dood is milk.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have honey, turmeric,
mm-hmm.
sometimes slices of ginger,
yeah.
you'd have your black pepper, all that cooked together and served as a hot drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what's fascinating to me as a botanist is that a lot of these flavors coming from India that are so characteristic, like turmeric and ginger and cardamom, all come from the same botanical family. So the family is called the Zingiberaceae family.
Wow.
And so these are related. Botanically speaking, species, even though their flavors and their colors are quite different,
yeah.
they are within that same botanical family. So it's a great feeling because it's given us a lot of amazing flavor profiles.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense though now.
Yeah. So you're in the startup phase. It's really
yes.
exciting. Where do you see your company going in the future?
So we have different trajectories that we are planning for.
Mm-hmm.
One is to have our ice cream in all the specialty stores across the country.
Mm-hmm.
We have now market feedback. We know that the product is accepted in certain test markets, and there's a lot of reorders. So.
Mm-hmm.
That is good. We are also planning to have sort of this program where we deal with food service and restaurants
okay.
so that they get to offer their customers a really high quality sort of handcrafted ice cream experience for a competitive price as compared to other dessert offerings they may be doing. So we're seeing good success with that. The third route is also to begin our direct-to-consumer online shipments.
Oh, nice.
Right? And people can order online. They get a few pints of this delivered to their door the next day. And then the possibility, we don't know, but scoop shops.
Oh, fun.
Where we get to incorporate the whole experience of eating ice cream like it would be in India. with the sounds, the sights, the smells, the noises, and then of course the flavors on display.
Oh, that's great. So.
Who knew that yet another member of the ginger family could be so fascinating, health-boosting, and delicious? Have you ever tried a dish with green cardamom before? After this episode, how could you not? Remember, the key to the greatest flavor profile is to purchase the whole pods, remove the seeds from the husk, and grind them just before adding them to a dish. Whether you try your hand at making your own cup of Turkish coffee or Indian chai tea, or perhaps even some sweet spice-inspired baked goods, or by simply buying a scoop of delicious cardamom-infused ice cream, I hope that you enjoy your experience with this spice as much as I have. Next time on Foodie Pharmacology, we'll investigate a juicy fruit that is delicious consumed fresh or dried, or baked in pies or even as a smoothie ingredient. While its relatives may include a number of poisonous plants, this tropical delight is safe for most to bite into, unless you have an allergy to urushiol, an oil that can be found in its skin. So join me next time as we explore the delightful tropical flavor of Mangifera indica, or the mango. I'm Dr. Cassandra Quave, and you've been listening to Foodie Pharmacology, the podcast for the food curious, recorded here in Atlanta, Georgia at the Emory University Center for Digital Scholarship. You can get updates on our latest episodes by following or liking the Foodie Pharmacology Facebook page or subscribing to our show on SoundCloud or iTunes. If you've got a great idea for a future show or a guest you really want me to interview, let me know. You can find me on our Foodie Pharmacology Facebook page or on Twitter and Instagram at my Quave Ethnobot account, spelled Q-U-A-V-E-E-T-H-N-O-B-O-T. Thanks a bunch, and I'll see you next time.